Take your Bible tonight and go to Titus chapter 2. My pastor's with me. Tonight, dear friend, I've known since I got saved. Brother Kendall is a missionary to Papua New Guinea. I guess maybe you're on deputation when I got saved the first time, maybe. I don't know. But, boy, it's a blessing that you guys came. Appreciate it very much. Of course, my wife's at my pastor's house. Tonight, his wife's having a Bible study. Amen. So what's going on there might end up being more spiritual than what's going on here. Isn't it good that you got a wife that loves the Bible too? Titus chapter 2 tonight, look in verse 13. Familiar verse, I'm confident. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you it will be glorious. And then it says this, in verse 14, who gave himself for us. You know, we know that John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And salvation is a gift to you and I, but it wasn't a gift. It wasn't free. It's a free gift to you and I, but it wasn't free to God. It cost him his Son. But this verse makes it real clear to us, even though we know in the garden, Jesus Christ prayed that if there's any way that cup could pass, he didn't look forward to that cross any more than you or I would. But he finished with the right attitude, and he says, nevertheless, what I will, not what I will, but what thou willst. And it says right here specifically that Jesus Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from, help me out, you can do much better than that. That he might redeem us from all iniquity. Amen. If the verse stopped right there, if there was a period right there, boy, that'd be reason to shout. That'd be reason to rejoice. That would be reason to be thankful from now until we get to the place that these fellas been singing about. Amen. I thank God tonight if you've been redeemed from all iniquity. But the verse doesn't stop there. Amen. The verse goes on and says this, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Now, I'm not a scientist or anything, but purification is a process. Whatever you're trying to purify takes time. There's usually steps involved. And so it is with you and I. Amen. As we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, it's a process. It takes time. Say, how much time does it take, Brother Purge? I don't know. I've been in the process for 27 years, and I got a long way to go. It looks to me like this is a lifelong thing, but I guarantee you it is the most worthy lifelong endeavor anybody could ever get involved in. It says, in purifying himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. And I'm going to attempt to speak and exhort and rebuke, amen, on the authority of the Word of God tonight. I want to talk to you about this thought about being a peculiar people for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. We wonder sometimes, what does that mean exactly? And I guess my answer would be this. The way some people, many Christians, resist living a separated godly life, they must think it means weird. Now, we don't mind being identified, amen, as church people, saved people, but I'm going to tell you something. The truth be known, most of us, maybe none of us, really relish the thought of being considered weird. Amen. We don't want that. Amen. It says, purifying himself a peculiar people. So I looked up the definition to peculiar. And here it goes like this. Singular, particular. This is for some of you. You'll like this. Special. Then you always want to feel special. Amen. An exclusive property, that which belongs to a person in exclusion of all others. In other words, this King James Bible right here is a peculiar Bible in that it belongs to me. I hope you've got one on your lap. If you don't, Brother Holt will give you one, I'm sure. And if he can't afford it, I'll help him. but this King James Bible is mine. Amen. It's peculiar, exclusive property. And he says, who gave himself for it that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. If you're saved here tonight, you ought to rejoice in the fact that you belong to Jesus Christ. I want to help you tonight with that word peculiar, so that you don't fall for the fallacy that it means weird. That's not what it means. Amen. So let's pray, and I'll give you the little outline I got here. Father, I love you, and I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, it's already been good to be here. And Lord, again, I can't help but mention people that have such talent and use it for the Lord, it really blesses my soul. Help us all to follow that example, whatever our talent might be. Lord, I pray for the message tonight. I pray that it might be a blessing to you. I pray that it might edify your people. I pray that if there's one in here tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, God, I pray you'd make it easy for them to see, clear to them, that they need to get that thing rectified while they can. And they can. I love you tonight, Lord Jesus, and I'm humbled by the privilege to stand in this pulpit. And I pray, God, you just meet with us and move tonight in such a way that it will be true to be able to say it was good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And I'll thank you for that, and I pray this in Jesus Christ's precious and mighty name. Amen and amen. All right, so peculiar people tonight. He said, and purifying to himself a peculiar people. So let me tell you some things here tonight. Give you some things tonight. If you're saved, it's because you had a peculiar birth. You had a peculiar birth. John chapter 3 records a couple times the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, ye must be born again. Amen. That's a peculiar birth there. It's peculiar. It's different in that... it's like, it's by choice. It's by choice. Amen. Unlike the first, I didn't have anything to do with that first one, neither did you. They had a Sunday school teacher at Charity way back in the early 90s, and he got so frustrated with the teenagers, with the high school class, that he quit. He couldn't keep their attention, and he got so frustrated, he just resigned the class, and Brother Estep came to me and said, I was called to preach. I was on federal probation. I was going to Bible school. And he said, Brother David, would you consider taking the teenager Sunday school class? And boy, the first thing that crossed my mind was, whoever saw that coming 25 years ago? Sunday school teacher. And but the Bible school I went to taught us this. If the Lord opens the door, you go through it. That thing about being infant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I see this church applies that to singing as well as preaching. But I was just told if the Lord opens the door, go through it. And so I didn't have to pray about it. If my pastor asked me to do it, I probably shouldn't be saying that because my pastor's here and he'll tell what he'll come up with now. Hey, paint my living room. No. My dad asked me to paint the garage when I was in high school. He never asked me to paint anything again the rest of my life, and I'm telling you, I tried to do a good job. Some things just didn't work for me. But I told the preacher, I said, I'll do my best. I'll give it a try. I'm thinking to myself like this. How hard can it be? You put 15 teenagers and Dave Spurgeon in an 11 by 14 room. How hard could it be to keep their attention? And I did that for about a year and a half as the Lord was filling up our schedule and giving me more meetings. And I didn't ever have a problem keeping their attention. We had a good time. Amen. Because we were probably all about the same level spiritually. And amen. But that's okay. And you teach a class. You get to know the whoever it is you're teaching. And this one young man was, come in one morning, Sunday morning. He was burdened, I could tell. And, he was just acting like he had some real issues and problems and things on his mind. And after class was being dismissed, I said, look, man, I'm not getting into your business. But I just want you to know, I can tell something's going on. I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. And so he volunteered this information. He said like this. He said, I didn't ask to be born. That's what he said. Oh, I guess he's having a problem with his parents, right? And he's right. He didn't. But I said this to him. I said, you know, you ought to be thankful you were, and not just born, but born into a family, born into a country where you can still come to church, born into a family that loved you enough to bring you to church so you can hear the gospel. Amen. That's the way you ought to look at it. But hey, maybe some of you have had days like that. Man, things are going wrong, and you're thinking, I didn't have to be born. I'm telling you what, if you're saved here today, you did. Amen. That book says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You might not have anything to do with that first one, but you had something to do with that second one. My wife and I were up on our way to Maine one time. We're in a Cracker Barrel in Rhode Island. Can you believe that? I remember in the old days, you had to get at least to Nashville before you ever saw a Cracker Barrel. Now they got them in Connecticut. Amen. We're sitting there, and we had scripture on a jacket, both of us, and we were making people uncomfortable. We could tell, amen, because we were praying over our food, and we were talking about the Lord. And when I see people getting uncomfortable, something happens, and I get louder. I mean, we're talking about the right thing. And our waiter, he's a real nice young man, and he was chiming in and making comments, and I'm looking around, and people are really not liking that. And finally, my wife does this all the time. She might have done it to some of you. If she gets a chance to talk to a person very long, she'll say, how did you get saved? Amen. And then when a person starts talking about how they got saved and other people can hear, it's a good way to get the gospel out. And this young man, nice young man, I would have assumed he was a Christian until he said this. Oh, I've always been saved. My grandpa was a preacher. My mom and dad took me to church from a child. I've always been saved. Boy, the flags went up there. I'm going to tell you what. It doesn't matter if you were born on the front row. You had to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to get your name written in the book of life. We're talking about, he said, I'm purifying himself, a peculiar people. And if you're ever going to make the grade, friend, you had to have this peculiar birth. And make no mistake about it, it's by choice. I'll tell you something else about it, too. This peculiar birth is a remembered birth. Now, there's a great event in American history. I don't know how many historians we have in here, but there's a great event that took place in American history in February of 1953. And I don't know about you, but it was a great day. And if my wife was here, I'd say, anybody know what happened that day? And she'd raise her hand. She better know what happened that day because I expect a nice birthday present from her every year. That's the day I was born. Usually when a big event happens in your life, you remember it. You remember the details. I know where I was when John F. Kennedy was killed, what row I was in, what grade I was in. I remember my fifth grade teacher's name, amen. I know where I was when I heard about 9/11. You understand what I'm trying to say? When memorable events happen in your life, you remember them, amen. You might remember or not remember a lot of things, but you tend to remember. But as important as February 10th was, 1953, I can't seem to conjure up one memory of that day. My folks, however, do remember it, and I caused them to regret it many times, no doubt. But I don't have any recollection of that first birth, but I'm going to tell you something tonight. That second one, that morning on November 30th, 1990, and when I came to myself, you guys have been singing about the prodigal all week. When I came to myself and I bowed not just my knee, but my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I laid that King James Bible Brother Gresham gave me, laid it down on the floor next to my rack in cell 2 up in federal holding in the Montgomery County Jail. When I got down there and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin, and not only do I remember that in detail, but I'm telling you what, it's come in awful handy many times in the last 27 years. Amen. When the cares of this life, whether it was generated by the devil or the flesh or the world, there were times when I found comfort in going back to that memory. That day, I bowed my heart and Jesus Christ took care of my problems that were much bigger than whatever I was dealing with on any particular day. We're talking about a peculiar birth tonight, and I'm happy to report it's a remembered birth. It's a birth by choice. It's not like the first one. It's peculiar. Second of all, take your Bible, go to Psalm 12. peculiar people tonight. Purify unto himself peculiar people. Zealous of good works. Psalm 12, verse. Proverbs 12 is good, but that's not where I was going. Verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You know what you got? We talked about the King James Bible. You know what you got in that book right there? You got a peculiar book. You got a peculiar book. It's a pure book. The Bible says so. It's a pure book. It's been purified. The words of the Lord are pure words. Now, we get traveling around evangelism and been everywhere, I guess. And we go to Washington, D.C. We go to New York City. We go to all these places. People say, New York City, how can you stand to go there? I said, why? And they said, there's so much sin there. I said, I thought we were in the ministry. Where are we supposed to go? North Carolina? I tell you, there ain't no lack of sin there neither. We go to New York City. I'm like, hey, there's a couple little Bible-believing churches scattered around that mass of 7+ million people that love God and love that book just as much as you or I do. And it is a privilege that God lets us go there and try to minister to them. And I'm fully persuaded that I get more help from them than they get help from me. We go there and I raised a bunch of kids in a bus. We redefined school bus. It wasn't something you rode to school. It became the school. And so we had about 3 or 4 of the kids still with us at one time. And I had them up. I took them into FAO Schwartz, the world's largest toy store. They liked that. Took them to Central Park. Paid for them to get on a carriage and ride around in Central Park, New York City. Say, you paid them to do that? Yes, I needed to find a place with a restroom, and I had to ditch the kids for a while. Amen. They don't know that. Don't tell them. They think I'm a hero. Well, some of them do. Some of them don't. But anyway, like your kids. But we end up walking. We're walking down Fifth Avenue, heading toward the Empire State Building and the New York Yankee store. I got to be careful with that word around here. I know it's a baseball team. Don't get excited. Don't let those Ohio plates out there throw you. Like I said, I was born in Tennessee. We're going down there, and on the kids and me, we're having a great time. And my wife is the good sport of the year, of the decade. She's a good sport, and she just tags along and smiles and acts like she's having a good time. And if I see something that really, really she likes, I'll go out of my way to make it happen for her because she just puts up with me. Amen. And here we finally there was something in New York City that she really, really, I mean, she lit up. And I noticed that, and I looked to see what it was, and it was a big white granite building, looked like something from Washington, D.C. And it was the New York City Public Library. My wife is bookish. She likes to read. She sneak reads. She says, I'm going to take a nap. And she'll go back in the back of the motorhome, and she'll be back there. The rule for me is try to be quiet. Can you imagine David Spurgeon in a motorhome trying to be quiet? So I'd sit there, and every time she ends up going back there to take her nap, I end up having to go to the restroom. Are we talking about that again, Spurgeon? And so I'll wait, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And every once in a while, determine I'm going to be as quiet as I can. I'm going to sneak back and open the little door and get back there because it's back in the back of the bus. And boy, I tell you what, on more than a few occasions, my wife is not sleeping. I've been in agony for 15 minutes. She's back there reading. I said, I thought you were resting. She's sneak reading. Amen. Don't worry, I tell this story with her present. She likes books. She likes to read. Praise the Lord. I'm glad she does. I wish I did more. I mean, I need a room for my Harley memorabilia, and I gave my pastor 100 books to make room for little motorcycles. I'm sorry. I confess. Amen. We're going down Fifth Avenue, and she said, can we go in there? And me and the girls kind of look at each other and roll our eyes because, boring, right? But we said, sure, Mom, anything you want. We go in there. We go in and the woodwork's nice, and the architecture's beautiful, and there were some paintings, and they probably were old, and it was neat. It was pretty cool. Then we got in a big room full of you know what, full of books. It smelled like books. There are bookshelves from the floor to the ceiling, way higher than you could reach. As soon as we get in there, my girls and I found a bench that we could sit on where we could kind of like prop up against each other and try not to fall asleep and drool, you know, because that's just not our cup of tea. My wife, on the other hand, she walks over to the first row of books. I mean, the whole building, the whole room is a big room, big as this, and she's just running her fingers over. She's going, oh, I wish I had time to read all these books. She meant it, too. She would. Amen. You know, there are 26 million books in that branch of the New York City Public Library. And outside of a copy of the King James Bible, there ain't a pure book in there. And there might not even be a copy of the King James Bible in there. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what, that book right there is the only pure book there is. That peculiar book. Not only that, look at verse 7. It says, thou, David is talking to who? God. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It's a preserved book. People say, well, the originals were preserved, but they got lost. No kidding. I mean, read through the history of mankind. Man blows it at the end of every dispensation. Man fails. God judges. God comes up with a plan so that we can keep going. If the originals were left up to man to preserve, no kidding, they'd get lost. Look at his track record. It wasn't up to man to preserve the word of God. David acknowledges that God will preserve them. I would be afraid to think that God could keep track of the book of life that contains my name, but he couldn't keep track of the words, his pure words that he promised to preserve. I'd be worried that he might lose me. He ain't going to lose me or you or anybody else. We got a pure book and we got a preserved book, and it's a peculiar book in that it's a productive book. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's a productive book. You know what it produces? Being born again, it produces life. Eternal life. Amen. It's a profound book. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You know what that book does? It's profound in that it declares absolute truth. And boy, the more educated people get, the more they rebel, the more they can't stand absolute truth. That's why they hate the Bible. They hate the Bible because it says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's a profound absolute truth, period. You can't amend that, adjust that. It is what it is. Personally, I'm glad he made it that simple. I made so many bad decisions in the first 37 years of my life. If salvation was multiple choice, I'd have probably got it wrong. I didn't get it wrong. The only way you can mess it up is to just not choose Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, you're in. You don't have to worry about it. It's a profound book. It's a prophetic book. It's a prophetic book. It's the greatest history book on the nation of Israel that ever existed. But this Bible records history before it even happens. So when they get all crazy in the Middle East and even Christians get wrapped around the axle about current events, I just cut to the end. I know how it's going to turn out. It's a prophetic book. We're on the winning side. Relax. Calm down. Things are unfolding exactly the way the Lord said they were. That's a peculiar book right there. Let me give you something else. We're talking about peculiar people tonight. If you're saved, well, you get in on the peculiar blessings. Our blessing, I'm talking about Christians, our blessings don't come from striving or conniving or hustling or wheeling and dealing. They don't come from being lucky or being in the right place at the right time. Where'd you get that list? Because I'd probably be guilty of saying every one of them during the course of my life. And probably some of you have too. But that's not where the blessings for a child of God come from. Let me just give you a real short list. Proverbs 28 verse 20 says this, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Amen. That means it's possible if you just be faithful. Faithful to do right. Amen. Bob Jones Sr. said, till the stars fall, do right. That's not that hard. It's a choice. Amen. When you do wrong, it's because you made the wrong choice. And I'm guilty of it too. But I'm telling you, the Bible says a faithful man shall abound with blessings. And you need to be faithful to study your Bible. It's in 2 Corinthians 2:15, study. No, second, that'd be good. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to be faithful. I had to do more than read a proverb a day, to read more than a psalm when you need comfort. All that's good. But I'm going to tell you what, you get a blessing from God. It says a faithful man shall abound with blessings. You get a blessing with God if you just study your Bible. You get a blessing from God if you'd pray regularly. You get a blessing from God if you'd give. You get a blessing from God if you'd attend church regularly, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more is the day approaching. An empty seat doesn't exhort. You'd get a blessing from God if you'd be faithful to witness. Like I said yesterday, I had a flat tire and gave out 3 tracks and invited a dog shop to church. God blesses that. Say, how do you know? Because I went back today and they fixed my tire for free. Amen. I don't know about you. I just give the credit for stuff like that to the Lord. Amen. So if you're faithful to these things, the Bible says a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Our blessings don't come the way they used to. Here's the problem. There's no problem with God. There's no problem with the promises. There's a problem with us. Because sometimes we fail. We fail in one area. We fail in more than one area at a time. What do? We can't get blessed because sometimes we're not faithful. You know, God had that. God saw that coming too. And he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we're not faithful, he still is. And when you drop the ball in any of them areas, or all them areas, here's what you need to do to get back in on the blessings of God. Be faithful to get right with God. Keep short accounts. Don't get out of earshot of the still small voice of God. When the preaching, when the Spirit of God bears witness to something you're reading, amen, when the Lord pricked your heart about something, just admit it to him. Get it right. Confess it. Guess what? You're backing on blessing ground. God doesn't make this hard. He's not the one that's playing hard to get. He's done all that needs to be done to bless us. We're not a peculiar blessing. You know what I hear people say? God can't bless America. Too much going on, abortion, sodomites, all the long list. All the things that didn't bother people till they got saved. Now all of a sudden we're a judge of everybody. Let me tell you something about it. I love America. I'm a veteran. Amen. I'm a patriot. I love my country. That doesn't mean I'm blind or ignorant to the things that are going on. I'm not happy about it. Say, what's your plan, Brother Spurgeon? My plan is to tell as many of my countrymen as possible about the amazing saving grace of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the hope for America and he's the hope for the world. But I'm here to tell you tonight that I think God's blessing America right now. I'll tell you how I know. Here we got a bunch of people in the pew. We got a bunch of cars outside. We got a building. We're not meeting in the basement, huddled in whispered tones, trying to open up the Bible. You got windows, you got lights on. I'm saying we're in church tonight. You brought your Bible in your hand, not hidden under your coat. There's a lot of places in this world where you can't do that. Peculiar blessings. I'm going to tell you what our problem is. We take it for granted. I think I know God has given us a reprieve with Donald Trump. No matter what you think about him, hey, listen, he's a lost guy. You need to pray for him. You need to pray that he gets saved. But I'm going to tell you what, the Antichrist would have been a lot closer to where he plans to be if that other one would have won. God says in his book of Ephesians, the book says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. We need to redeem the time. We need to take advantage of the freedoms that we still have when it comes to I don't want to say religion. Amen. There's enough of that. But I tell you, we need to redeem the time when it comes to our ability to still witness and go to the jails or the nursing homes or the street corners or wherever it is. Peculiar blessings. You know what it says in Genesis chapter 12? And you know what it says. It says, I will bless them. This is a promise to Abraham concerning the founding of the nation of Israel. It says, I'll bless them that bless thee. It also says, I'll curse them that curses thee. Right. Amen. Well, I'm not going to be in that crowd. I was sitting in a Waffle House, I think it was, or Golden Corral, one of them Baptist hangouts. It depends what meal it is. It was probably Golden Corral. And I was sitting in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I was sitting there. I was at that camp meeting up there. And I'm sitting there with a fella and his wife, and they've just been called to Israel to be missionaries. I'm talking to him. I'm listening to their burden. There's a lot of details. She was Jew-hating Muslim. He found out later he was half Jewish. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Here they just got a burden to get to the mission field, and I'm sitting there looking at him, looking at her, looking at him, looking at him, and I'm remembering this verse in Genesis chapter 12. See, if you put some Bible in, the Holy Spirit can bear witness to it. And I'm sitting there. I stood up on my wallet. I says, I'm taking you guys on for support right now in a restaurant. Why'd you do that? Because I can't think, I'm selfish, and I'm just being honest with you, I can't think of a better way to bless Israel than to send them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're a people of peculiar blessings. Amen? All right. Wait a minute, let me count. 1, 2, 3. That was 3 points. I don't have a poem, so I got some more points, though. Go back to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. You don't think you're going to sing half the night and then I'm going to cut my message short. Nobody told me I was supposed to do that. Amen. I don't do sermonettes for Christianettes. Amen. Amen. Now some of you are nervous. Okay. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 11. Don't worry. Titus chapter 2, where we started, and go back up to verse 11, the Bible says this, for the grace of God to bring in salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that. Boy, the grace of God to do more than save you. It'll teach you some things. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That makes that just as relevant to you and I that just read it as it did when Paul wrote it. Somebody say amen. You know, we're supposed to be. Supposed to be. And some days we're better at it than others. But we're supposed to be a people of peculiar behavior. And if you make a serious attempt at living godly, righteously, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, believe me, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. But I'm going to say this to you, and I travel around. Lost people don't surprise me. Lost people don't surprise me anymore, all the fads and the things that change. Because here's what I figured out. Now, you're going to really marvel at my theological depth when I say this. But here's what I figured out. Lost people are lost. Isn't that deep? So when they start, you know, their face looks like they fell into a tackle box, you know, and they got tattoos everywhere like I do. Amen. And some of them don't wear their hair, don't dress just right. You know, they're lost. Amen. They don't surprise me. You know what surprises me in this age? Sometimes how Christians act. The later in the age, and we're talking about Laodicean church age, it was mentioned earlier, the later in the age it gets, the looser we're getting. Amen. The battle cry these days is, I have liberty. Let me tell you something tonight. The liberty that you have in Jesus Christ is not the freedom or the liberty to do whatever you want. That's what people say. That's what people try to say. Don't shove all this stuff down my throat. Let me explain something to you. Let me give you some David Spurgeon. This is how I think. I don't think I heard this anywhere else. This is how I think. That Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, how can that possibly be the freedom to do whatever you wanted, whatever you want, because that's what you did before you got saved. Yeah. That's what lost people do. They do whatever they want. Now, how can the liberty that comes from the presence of the Spirit of the Lord mean that? It doesn't. It can't. Here's what it does mean. If you're saved here tonight, you can do something a lost person can't do. You can live for God, like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You can live in such a way to make a difference. We're supposed to be different. Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. He left us here, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, to be witnesses after he left. And man, I'm telling you what, sometimes we fit in way too well Monday through Saturday. We're supposed to be people of a peculiar people because we're supposed to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. That's why we're supposed to be in the process of getting purified to the point where we're more, little by little, granted, conformed to the image of his son. Our problem is oftentimes we're not. We're not peculiar at all. Our problem is sometimes we fit in way too well. Amen. Peculiar people tonight. We have a peculiar birth. Are you saved? We got a peculiar book. Amen. There's people that are saved that don't know that. I'm glad God showed that to me. I didn't become a King James Bible believer because I was on some spiritual quest for truth. Maybe some of you did. Some of you came through other denominations. Some of you came through different things to get to the place where you just thirsted for God. I'm in a county jail. I don't know nothing. And God brings me out of county jail, puts me right in Charity Baptist Church. He knew I wouldn't have the character to finish any spiritual journey. He just, like so many things he's done for me, he just handed it to me on a silver platter. I didn't know anything about eternal security. I think I said the other night, preacher preached on heaven. And I went, wow, that sounds good. What do you got to do to go there? I didn't know I was part of it. Amen. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to have the Bible. Amen. I'm glad that I can get in on a peculiar blessing because God promised I can. Just try to be faithful. Amen. You don't have to be real smart to be faithful. I can prove it. Amen. I'll tell you what, you can get too smart for your own good, though. Amen. Don't worry, most of us are in no danger of that. Which is a good thing, actually. But let me remind you, now it's all, yeah, that's cool, the Bible, yes, I'm saved, yes. No, that behavior thing, I know, that's not the popular one. But somebody's going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you. And we need to take that thing to heart. For real. Amen? And I'm going to tell you what God will do if you will. You can have more fun than you ever had. I had more fun as a Christian than I ever had when I was lost. Seriously. Yeah. Amen. My wife and I drive up and down the road thinking, are you kidding me? People say, oh, pray for the Spurgeons. They live in a motorhome. I'm thinking, man, who is he talking about? We are living the dream. Yeah. And we really are. Because not because of what we do, but because we're where God told us to be. That's whatever you're doing, if you're in the will of God, that is the dream. Amen. All right, here's what I say last of all. You know how that goes. John chapter 3 and verse 36. Now, I'm much closer to being done than I was earlier. No, really. We're people of peculiar benefits. Are you saved here tonight? How many was that? Five of you? All right. I know. I know it's Tuesday. We're worn out. I preach to get in the public. I know you've been here 2 days and it's the flesh is right. I'm thinking, listen, people don't get off work and go home when there's not revival. They're not in bed by 6 o'clock. They're home watching TV and all other kind of things. You ain't wore out because you've been in church 3 days in a row. Amen. That wasn't in the message. I don't know if it was from the Lord or not, but that's my thinking. But I'll tell you something now. If you're saved, you got it on some peculiar benefits. Let me just, there's a lot of them, so let's just start with this one. In John 3 and verse 36, the Bible says this: He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. We'll just cut to the chase. We'll just cut right to the main one. I had somebody nervous there, didn't I? Everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's a no-brainer. Amen. If you're in here and you're not saved, that verse applies to you. Now, that shouldn't be a hard choice. Amen. Now, if you need more than that, we got people in this room, all over this room, that would be willing to open the Bible and give you some backup verses. Amen. But I'll tell you what, the last thing you want is to have the wrath of God. It's bad enough to be out of the will of God. But boy, to have the wrath of God abiding on you, that don't ever stop. That doesn't ever stop. You step into eternity, and it doesn't ever stop. You need to consider that. Oh, yeah, this was a positive point. Okay, let me get back. All right, back to the beginning of the verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. So how about that for a peculiar benefit? How about this? We're going to live forever. Forever. I'm glad somebody liked that. Amen. You're going to live forever. And then it says, and imagine. And imagine. That part doesn't really... I don't capitalize on that. I never lived in a mansion. I never lived in a mansion. The last 20 years, I've lived in a vehicle. So, amen. So that's cool. Here's why the mansion thing. We had a lady out west, and she stood up one day and sang a song. And said, this is my favorite hymn. And she sang, I've Got a Mansion Over the Hilltop. And you guys probably sing it here, and it's in the hymn books. And that's great. Amen. But I thought to myself, why would that be your favorite song? And I figured it out. Because maybe people like that song because when they get to heaven, they plan on staying home a lot. You know, like they do in church. I didn't stay at home much when I was lost. I don't stay at home much now. And when I get to glory, I have no intention of staying home. And I've got a mansion over the hilltop isn't even in my top 100 favorite songs, but I'll tell you one that's getting close to the top. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. That wasn't an audition. Thanks anyway, fellas, but I've already got a job. But amen. All right, but let me just give you a couple of things. In a mansion, I would be happy to sleep under a bridge in heaven. But I'll tell you what I am looking forward to. I'm looking forward to being safe. Safe at last. Safe from sin. Safe from sorrow. But it says a veil of tears. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. And I watched my family walk through it, and they're on the other side, and me and you are still in the shadow. Amen. And there's sorrow attached to this thing. And it's okay. I'm looking forward to being safe from Satan. He's not going to be there. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to more than anything else, and I discuss it a lot with the Lord. And I am looking forward to being safe from self. I am so sick and tired of this, with God's manifold blessings on my life. I'm sick and tired of the garbage that comes into my brain, the thoughts that I think, the things I'm tempted to say. And by the grace of God, I got a handle on saying it, but I'm not trying to fool anybody to thinking I'm any more sanctified. You follow what I'm saying? Aren't you? I am so looking forward to being in a place where everything is right. Amen. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Isn't that the truth? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How's that for a benefit? All right? Okay, so now I want you to turn in another verse. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, we'll land the plane, and that's what I heard somebody say, and then I thought, I was a paratrooper, I don't know anything about landing planes, I jumped out at
2,000 feet. But we'll try. And if not, Brother Holt probably looks kind of like a pilot. He'll come up and land a plane. But let me give you one more verse. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. And it says this, "But ye are a chosen generation." I told you you're special. "A royal priesthood and holy nation." And there's that word again. "A peculiar people." Now here's the reason. "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous grace." You know why you and I ought to get a hold of this thing about being a peculiar people for the glory of Jesus Christ? That we might show the praises of him, the one that brought us out of darkness, to the ones that are still in. I love being a Christian. I love being in church. Amen. Like I said, we're living the dream. But our purpose is to be a light in a lost and dying world. If you're saved in here tonight, he brought you out of darkness that was going to damn your soul to an eternal hell. And he brought you not into light, into his marvelous light. And isn't anybody in here that doesn't know somebody or cross paths with somebody that is still lost? And I'm here to tell you that I believe in the bottom of my heart there's no one outside of the reach of God's grace. So that vilest offender that probably you don't think there's any hope for, there's hope for. If we get a hold of this, all right? So if you're in here tonight and you're saved, that's what you're supposed to get a hold of. And if you're in here and you're not, well, the only way to get in on this thing is through the peculiar blood. There's no RH factor. It's God's own blood. According to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The Bible says this in 1 John 1, 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." You can't cleanse yourself of it. You can't fix it. You got a problem you can't fix. "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Well, I hope your sins are under the blood tonight. If they're not, let somebody open a Bible. Answer a question. Amen. You had to have that peculiar birth. And if you don't know, you need to know. And you can take care of it as long as you're breathing. Amen. Let's all stand if you're able. Pastor, you come. Simple message. Peculiar people tonight. Real deal is, what are you going to do with it?